thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
To love, the grace to rejoice together, the grace to fellowship together, the grace to come under one canopy as a family covered by your blood. Thank you, Lord, for salvation has brought every one of us together. We thank you. We thank you for this particular body that you have set aside for yourself to praise you, to honor you, to worship you, and to rejoice in the fellowship of your suffering. Jehovah, we give you all the glory this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray as your word comes, Father. We take authority over every form of distraction. We ask that you open our hearts, our ears, O God, to receive your word with meekness. We ask for the faith and the grace, O God, to implement what we hear today. Let it inspire us. Let it empower us. Let it progress us in our spiritual development. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for Friendship Sunday. Thank you because first of all, you call us your friend. And you have set us aside to be friends for one another. Father, we ask that you bless our friendship. Father, we ask that you increase our fellowship. We ask that you grant us the grace to have fun. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And the family say,
amen.
And the family say,
amen.
Help me welcome your neighbor one more time to this great service. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, for the rest of us who didn't go away for Easter, I salute you and I congratulate you. When those who ran away for holidays, when they come back, we are going to deal with them for not taking us along, actually. Amen. So I want to welcome you to this great Friendship Sunday. The Lord bless you in Jesus' mighty name. What a great way. We stand for fun. We stand for fellowship. We stand for fun, friendship, fellowship, and what?
Family.
And family. So it's one of the core, what we've just experienced in the past few minutes is just one of the core values of the church, which is we come together to have fun and we are friends. Amen? We set a day aside like this to remind us, first of all, that we are friends of Jesus and to remind ourselves that we are friends. You know, friendship is one of those rare commodity these days. So as a church, we want to just remind ourselves that, hey, we are still friends. We are still friends with one another. But this morning, I want to teach us something. By the way, where did that young lady get that thing from? Our birthday is once a year. Yeah. From my father. You see all manner of things on friends. You just see all manner of things. I mean, that was so confusing. And what was confusing is not the fact that it's not so much as what she said, but how she said it. She said it so confidently that we thought, we always try and confuse my head every on this friendship. So the next time I'll be staying in my office so I can. I don't know what I said. He said, and they said, A-A-A-A-O-A-O-A-A. And we're all standing in front of one. Praise the Lord. Anyway, this morning I want to teach you what I've titled, How to Engage the Power of His Resurrection, or How to Engage His Resurrection Power. How to Engage His Resurrection Power. We are a very young church, like as you can see. We are always very simple. We are very, very dynamic. We always say that we have We are young, dynamic, contemporary professionals. However, it does not remove the fact that we are equally very powerful, that we have experience in the world. The Word of God is the key focus of this house, and for the past 11 years, you know, it has been the main staple. Amen. I have seen the Word of God done so many things to so many people, revive so many, bring. I've seen people grow over the past 11 years in their maturity, in the way they do things. Praise the Lord. And this month is our month of His resurrection power. And I like what I'm going to teach you this morning, because it's something very dear to my heart. It's something sometimes we forget the things that make us Christians. We forget our responsibility as Christians. We forget what should drive us as Christians. And I want to just highlight that this morning. It's very important for us as Christians to know how to tap into the resurrection power of Jesus. It's very important. It's very important for us to know how to engage the resurrection power of Jesus. A lot of the average Christian does not know how to engage the power of Jesus. And to engage the power and to engage His resurrection power, you must know how to engage what? The Word of God. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? And the Word was God. To engage the resurrection power of Jesus is to know how to engage the Word of God. Amen. It is something that you must, we all claim we do it, but it is the way we respond and the way we react to life. It is life that tests whether we actually engage His resurrection power or not. When I got born again, my first encounter with the Word of God, you know, in a physical form, was on a challenge. I will never forget it. You've heard that testimony several times, where somebody was making fun of me. A gentleman was running on the track, and he was jogging. He was running. So, and then somebody said, "Oh, I bet you can't do." I think it was, 6 or 7 laps. That was about 400 round the pitch, and I said, "Yeah, I can do it." So they laughed. They were mocking me. And I thought, okay, well, and this guy, every day he goes out for a run, you know, when uni, then he goes out for a run, he comes back always showing off his muscles, and then, you know, comes back, you know, if you've ever taken a ride on your listener's car, you know, he makes the point of due to rub it on your face that he jogs 1 mile or 2 miles, and then he goes, "Oh, from here to that school is 1 mile, you know, and then, oh, from my house to your house is 1.5 miles, you know, and I look at him, and in my mind, I always do one reaction in my mind every time, "Pah!" every Saturday, he's been giving me a ride to the prayer meeting every Saturday. Every Saturday, he's making the point of it to tell me that from his house to my house is 1.5 miles. Like I care. Because I don't go jogging. So he has a way of letting you know that, you know, I go jogging every day. I go jogging, you know. And so every now and then, he will direct the conversation to his pecs. So, "Oh, I have this. Oh, man. I don't know what I would do if I don't exercise in the morning." I said, "Really?" "Oh, I don't know. Oh, man, if I don't exercise in the morning, you're the kind of person." Oh, "Do you feel the way I feel? But I'm the only one saying this." "You feel the same way I feel?" "We don't, yeah. Oh, I don't know." And then when he said that, he will put his head down. Then I'll bring up my stomach. "One more talk like that, I will ride in your car next time." Praise the Lord. So I took on this challenge with this guy, and one scripture came to my spirit. And church, I want to engage the resurrection power of Jesus, you have to learn to engage the Word of God. Many of us are not good at it. Many of us are still struggling with it. But I want to let you know, if this is all I say in this service, is that this is your primary responsibility. Your primary responsibility as a Christian is to engage the Word of God. And what does that mean? It means that everything that comes out of you must be based on the word of God. In its purest form, your response, your reaction, your perspective. That's how to be a Christian. That's what we all strive to be. You fast about it. You wait on the Lord about it. You hear the word about it. You come to church for it. That is all it is. And every time you sit down and sit back and analyze your reaction, your response, and your perspective objectively, independently, the Bible says, judge yourself so you will not be judged. And you find that there is some form of human nature, right, in your response and your reaction, you're not there yet. You know, we can always judge our response and reaction on a scale of 1 to 10. Which one is word-based? Which one is mind-based? Which one is family-based? Which one is friendship-based? Many of us respond in life based on what people say. Many of us respond in life based on what we think, that it's not even so. But the Christianity that God has called you and I to practice, that's why I say we practice. You see, because we get born again into the world system, and we've been in the world for so long. We were raised in certain families, maybe families that were not Christians, you know? And now we are saved. Our job is to constantly work on ourselves, constantly. That's why we come to church. Constantly, that's why we mind what we say, where we go, who we hang out with, until our response, reaction, perspective in life is word-based. In other words, when anybody asks you, what do you think? Your thoughts should be word-based. That is the call to Christianity. Every other thing is not scriptural. That's why John opened with the word of God. John 6:16 says, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. God, Christianity means we engage his word. We engage the power of his resurrection. To engage the power of his resurrection is to engage the word of God. To engage the word of God means that everything that comes out of you in thought and in speech is laced by the word of God. The further you are away from that, right, what I just described, the further away you are from true Christianity. The further you are away from that, the further away you are from true Christianity. Because Christianity means different things to different people. But God has a standard. God has a standard. The objective of the church is to guide you and constantly remind you of God's standard for you. So you can align your perspective, align your thoughts, align your reactions, and make them congruent with what the word of God says. That the word be first and your flesh zero. That's why Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Amen. He says that to embrace Christ and count every other thing as dung. Amen. Praise the Lord. So the word of God, I love Psalm 102 verse 20. He said, he sent his word and his word healed them and the word delivered them from their destructions. So it is the word of God that delivers from destruction. My brother and my sister, my friend this morning, hear it from your pastor. Your job description as a Christian born again is to align yourself, your perspective, your reactions, your perspective, your reactions, your thoughts, and your utterances, and your speeches in line with what the Lord says and not what you feel. Can I hear an amen? Amen. The further you are away from that, the further you are away from Christianity. You are on your own. You're just doing your own thing. You are there are so church. Can I be very honest here? Yes, we can't. You know, we can't play games here. You know, there are so many religious people, but we don't want to be religious. We want to be Christians. There are so many religious people.
Religious people are those who carry the form of godliness, but they don't have the power to become Christians. A form of godliness. What is the form of? What does the form of godliness mean to you? It means people who parade themselves as Christians, right? They carry the Bible, maybe even talk the Bible because the devil talks the Bible, right? The devil told Jesus, "Is it not written concerning you?" He reads the Bible, right? But yet, their thoughts, their perspectives, their reactions, their speeches, their utterances is not the word. It's not the word. But we won't beat ourselves up because we are constantly striving to gain mastery. Amen? And that's why God loves us. We say we are not there yet. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. But help us. We are constantly striving. As long as we are constantly striving, right, it's okay. But the one that is not good is one where, you know, people, they've mastered so much bad habits. Say, but you know I'm like this. But you should know me now that I get upset very easily. You have a simple like that. But you should know me that I like punching people's faces and there. You should know me. So what you are saying is that ignore the word of God, accommodate what God has not, accommodate the lifestyle I have chosen for myself. Oh, you should know me now. You should know me. I have a short fuse. You should know me now. You should know me. You should know me. We've been friends for so many. Like, you know, every time, you should know me. When I'm angry, I'm angry. You should know me. God has not called us to bear and accept your misalignment as the gospel, but genuine repentance. I'm very sorry. You know, I'm still working on it. I get very angry very easily. Then grace kicks in. You know, I'm working very hard at it. The post-it card in my house is not, I didn't buy it. I'm working hard at it. You know, working hard at it. You know, the crayons, the pencils, the pens, you know, I'm, you know. Basically, you know, I'm a registered thief, but I'm, you know, I know I'm a registered thief. You know, yeah. It's better to say, you know, I'm a registered thief, but the grace of God is still working on me, and you know, we all of us we agree. I remember many years ago, one guy came and said, you know, he walked past, he was reeking of cigarette, and he said, he said, I'm the one. Seriously, the guy is the CEO of a Christian organization today. He said, I'm the one. I just got born again. I'm still working hard at it. You know, but sometimes I can't help myself. So I'm trying to use patches. So all of us, what do we do? We surrounded him and we loved him and we encouraged him. It is different from the man who says, what about you too? What about you? What about you? Is it because you can see my, what about your own? You know, but that's what sometimes in the body of Christ. Now, I won't crack this joke. In the body of Christ, if we are not careful, the genuine Christians become minority. They will force you to adjust your own Christian lifestyle, right, to suit what God has not said. The word must be in your mind. The word of God must be in your mind. Look, remove our crave and our desire to adjust ourselves to what God says, right? Remove that from the picture. We are not Christians. We have no business with the cross. There are so many Christians, so many self-proclaimed Christians who have no business with the cross. Engaging the world is Christian business. Dumping who you are and embracing what he says you should be painfully is Christian business. It's painful to be a Christian. It's painful. If you are not on that painful path, paying that painful sacrifice of adjusting yourself to suit the word of God, you have no business with the cross. Seriously. It's one thing to be trying. Have you seen a kid who is learning to walk? A kid will crawl, get up, fall, crawl, crawl. You know, you stand there and you are watching that kid. That is excellent. You could see all, you could see the effort. You see effort. But church, sometimes people don't put in any effort. Instead, they expect the true Christians to adjust their understanding to what is wrong, to what the Bible has not said a genuine Christian should behave. So there's a behavioral requirement for scriptures. Where do we start from? You put the word in your mind. Put the word in your mind. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day, King James Version, shall be in thy heart. Deuteronomy 6:6. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. In thy heart. Why? I want this word to change you. I want this word to change you. I get tired of Christians who are not making effort to change. Change. Amen. Change. Change. Don't take yourself for who you are. Take yourself for who God says you are. And then change in that direction. You work hard at it. And then you change. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Because what goes into your heart is important. Amen. Praise the Lord. Shall be in your heart. Amen. Psalm 1 verse 12. It says, in the second passage, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. Day and night. This is our job description. Day and night. Day and night. Day and night. Let me tell you something. TV is putting some rubbish into your mind. There's one program I don't like on TV. I'm not sure if we still have people in church that are watching those kind of programs. They call them African, what do you call them? African movies, they call them. I think those movies, they are designed to cause fear in people's hearts. They give you a perspective of the world that is not like that. So media is very popular. I read something about Japanese. I don't remember if you saw the news. They said the Japanese girls, they said there's a trend going on in Japan right now. The Japanese girls want to be black. So they are turning their color and they are remaking their face after black American pop stars. So you see a Japanese girl looking like Beyonce. Freaky, innit? They make up so they can look. Black is trendy now in Japan. Seriously, Google it. Black is trendy now. You see the power of the media? You see how media can corrupt? How do you turn Caucasian to black? Delusion and illusion. So media can feed your mind with certain things. So God is saying, put the word of God in your heart and meditate upon it day and night. If not, gradually, you start shifting. You start reconditioning yourself to suit what God has not said about you. That's what the scripture says. You recondition yourself if you are not careful. You know something? And when you are changing, and this goes for those who are just born again and those who have been born again for a very long time, that's why it's a daily walk. Paul said, I die daily. It's a daily walk because you can be standing today and then tomorrow you will fall. Amen. And you saw it in Peter. You are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then instantly, oh, you don't have to die, you know. And Jesus said, get it behind me. As a Christian, you have to be filled with the word daily. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. You need to measure, if you want to get out your wordometer and measure the level of the word content in you. If that word content is low, it will soon reflect in what you say, in how you think, and how you respond, and how you react, and the perspective you have. The word of God. This is our job description. You remove this from church, you have a club. A club of do-gooders. Nice people. Moral beings. Remove this teaching from church, you have a bunch of do-gooders. Moral beings. Just moral people. Who make their own laws and respond the way they feel like responding, react the way they feel like reacting, think the way they feel like thinking. Amen. Psalm 13 says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So we must receive the word of God in our heart. How do we do that? We hear and hear and hear the word of God. It's brainwashing. Submit yourself to brainwashing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You have to be brainwashed and brainwashed by scriptures. You got to hear, got to hear, got to hear. You can't come to church once a week, get hear the word, and throughout this week, you don't go back to hear that word twice or thrice, or go back and extract the scriptures from that word, and then you say you are a practicing Christian. What makes us practicing Christians is not just showing up in the sanctuary. No. Practicing Christians is a personal journey. You practice. Have you ever seen the tennis player comes to play tennis once a week and he wants to win the British Open or wants to win Wimbledon? Which spot of repute do you find that they just show up once a week and then they go back and say, yes, I say I've practiced here, so I'm going to win the tournament? Is that how they win tournament? Ask people who win tournament. Ask the amount of practice. Off pitch and on pitch, practice. After practicing the sport, then they now practice the mindset that accompanies the sport. Right? And after doing the mindset, then they now condition their body to suit the world. You can't go out. You can't go after practicing that sport, then you now go back home and say, why? That is why people from certain nations, right? They can't win Olympics. The diet required to win the Olympics is not available.
That's right.
Is it available? The diet required to win the Olympics is not there. Amen. You see, in the West, after they run 100 meters, they go there, they get their milk. They put some things into their milk. They need nutrients. They say supplements. Then you get back to you. You go and bring out cassava and then bring out this way. Then put water in the yard. So what is that? It's not. How do you, by the time you run 50 meters, you are panting. The other guys are, well, I'm telling you, two of us. There's a lot that goes into these things. It's not just showing up on a day to compete. No. You practice. You find out what you're weak. You find the areas where you are weak. Footballers, for example, they go and they play football, isn't it? But once upon a time, they say, well, you know what? Today, we're all going to practice spot kick. Penalties. Right? They say, because you never can tell. What about if it's the final and it's a draw? What do we do? Suppose they pick you up and say, okay, you, what will you do? So, today, we are going out a spot kick. Level, you know? I saw one guy one day my son was laughing. I said, why are you laughing? He said, oh, dad, you need to see this. This guy looked at the goalkeeper, and then he dribbled the ball past everybody, and it was was just him and a goalkeeper. I remember saying, "You do YouTube video." What? And you, and then this guy, look, him and a goalkeeper. Nobody. The guy kicked that ball. I don't know how that ball went 90 degrees. The ball went right there, straight up, and went over there. When my son showed me, he was laughing. I said, "Stop laughing, stop laughing. This is serious. This is home trouble. This is home trouble. Somebody's after this man." This is home trouble. But then later I now realized that actually it's not home trouble. This guy didn't practice. It's not practice. If you don't deal with that thing, after some time, people will look at you and say, home trouble. You practice. Find out the area. Sit down. Engage your life. Do a self-spiritual audit. Which area are you tripping every time? Sit down and practice the word of God in that area until it is broken. Then you are free. You are free. You are free. So we all are constantly auditing, self-audit every day. Before you go to bed at night, look back at the day. What did you do right? What did you do wrong? What did you say right? How did you say? And then you are lying. The ones you did well, oh Father, I thank you. The ones you didn't do well, next day, Lord, help me in this area. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You hear the word. We read the word. We read the word. Now, I'm not saying study. You read. Grab it and read it. Grab it and read it. It's your brainwashing exercise. Grab it and do you know why you grab it and read, why you should read the word? Right? Because as you read, it paints pictures in your spirit. You see, the more you read, the more database you have in your spirit. For some people, you hear me say it, some people cannot say God said. If you say, well, I don't know how to hear the voice of God, it's because there's nothing, your database is not full. When your database is full and you have a lot of words, a lot of pictures and images stored from reading, every time you face a situation, the Holy Ghost will pull out an image, a picture, a phrase, a verse, pull it out from where you have stored it. If you've not stored it in there, then where is God coming to speak with you? You can't just hear a voice from somewhere, that is spooky. That would be spooky. And if the average Christian wants to hear voices, you want to hear voices, that's insanity. We want to hear voices. That's not the order. No, you read the word. When you read the word, what happens naturally when you read the word? Because the word I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Images are painted in your spiritual database. Every man has a spiritual database, including the voice of your pastor. You understand? There are several instances where people come to me, they tell me, oh, pastor, I was going to do this one day, and I heard your voice. It's because they listen, they hear me all. So that is the best way the Holy Ghost can best interpret that solution for them. The familiar thing. God will never use the unfamiliar to reach out to you. That is witchcraft. God will never use the unfamiliar to reach out to you. It is what? Only witchcraft. Because we live in two parallel worlds spiritually. Only witchcraft. God uses the familiar. Are you listening? So you store the word. You read the word. So you constantly read the word and store up your database. How many of you will drive from here to Birmingham and not fill your tank? You put your kids in the car. Then you look at your reserve tank. You look at the tank. It's red or it's orange. Depending on what car you drive. You say, well, it doesn't matter. You say, what's the plan? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Then halfway through, maybe you have a nice car that it beeps, right? Now it doesn't beep, just stops. Just stops, like that. Beep, 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 beep. Oh, yeah, that doesn't matter, you know. Where are you going? I'm going to Birmingham. Say, but your tank is empty. It doesn't matter, you know. That would be the height of irresponsibility, isn't it? Then why do you live your Christian life like that? Many of us go around with, there's nothing apart from, oh, there's nothing in their tank. If the tank is full, we will see it in your behavior. If the tank is full, when a tank, the Christian tank is full of the world, pictures, images, phrases, verses, loaded. Are you kidding? You are a walking word. You can't be full of the world and be carnal at the same time. It's not possible. It's not possible. Let's read them. Let's look. Let's raise a great church that will take a sickle and weed the body of Christ of rubbish. If there are only 6 people going to heaven, let's go to heaven. But this whole carnal church and the spiritual world, I don't understand. This is all standing on a gray line. I don't understand it. That's why the body of Christ is so weak today. Are you listening? You fill up words, phrases. Word. So when something happens to you, your natural reaction will be something from your spirit. It just comes and comes. It comes right from your spirit. It comes into your mind. You know, a picture, an image, a verse, an instruction. It just comes. Something you've heard before. Something, you know, one of the things we love watching in our home is The Chase. We watch The Chase, you know, quiz. I'm sitting to The Chase, you know. Exactly. We like watching The Chase, right? And then you see someone say, and then the guy say, why? Why did they choose this answer? He said, I don't know. It's just something. It's just something. I don't know. Something. So he's seen that thing somewhere before. It's just something about, oh, let me tell you what happened this weekend. My son came home from school, not only just with his mother, you know, his birthday. A lady came to visit us. Listen to this. A lady came and they came to visit us with the family. Greeted him, greeted the whole family. We were so excited. So the lady left. Now, I was in the bedroom with my wife. And then he came in. And this is what his reaction. This is what. I don't know. I just don't like that woman. I said, what? I don't know. Every time. And he was licking his lips. Meaning bad taste. Yeah? I said, what do you mean? She's a nice woman. Yeah, but I don't know. And he was feeling bad that he doesn't like her. More so because he doesn't know the reason why he doesn't like her. So I said, really? He said, yeah. You don't like her? Yeah. I said, I bet you don't. He said, what do you mean? Yeah, why will you like her? I said, I know the reason why you don't like her. That was the woman who weaned him off diapers. Seriously. That woman potty-trained him and potty-trained him in 3 days. It was an aggressive one. And she did a quick walk because we were broke. Money was running out. I was in the country. My Pastor Bola was in the country with him. And the woman housed both of them. And the woman noticed that, man, diapers was very expensive. This 2.5-year-old boy is still doing diapers. So quickly, to save us some money, 3 days fast track. He was done. 20 years later. He still sees her and goes, but he can't remember anymore. He doesn't know the reason why he doesn't like her. Doesn't know. But that thing is ingrained in his spirit. I was not laughing. I said, you see, that's why you need favor at work. Because he doesn't like the woman. He doesn't know the reason why. Anyone who looks like her, you think he will like them? If he's a CEO tomorrow and someone that looks like her shows up, or speaks like her shows up, you think he will take the woman? You think it doesn't matter how good the woman is. You think he will take that person in his team? That's why you need favor. So I said, I know the reason. Man, the treatment was harsh, but it was good. But look at you now. That's why you should read the word. That's why when you read, you think you've forgotten. The Holy Ghost locks that thing down in your spirit. Practice reading the word. You can't be too... See, my friend, look. Service is over. You have to change. That's all I'm trying to say. You have to change. Don't celebrate your weakness. You need to change. You need to improve. You need to grow in the Lord. And you do that by grabbing the word, by exposing yourself to the word, reading the word, putting the word in your mind, and altering your perspective. Alter your utterance, alter your thought, alter your speech, and do what the word says. It may be hurtful to your feelings, but feelings lie. Feelings lie. We are not driven by our feelings. We are driven by faith. Amen. Let's be Christians, my friends. Lest our Christianity cost us our feelings. It's a good thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's rise to our feet and pray. The service is gone.
I want you to lift yourself before God and ask for a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Genuine Christians are few and far between. But you are one. Oh, great Christians are few and far between. The Bible says straight is the road. Narrow is the road. Narrow is the road. The body of Christ is not a club. It's made up of people who have accepted his death and resurrection. I want you to lift yourself to God's hands this morning and say, Lord, fill me with your spirit. Holy Spirit, empower me. I want to be a Christian properly. Baptize me. I present my weakness to you. I do not rejoice in them. I do not celebrate them, but I lay them at the altar this morning. I ask for grace. Holy Spirit, change my perspective. Change my behavior. Realign my thoughts in the name of Jesus. I want to be a true, genuine, born-again, spirit-filled believer in this nation. I want to be the man and the woman you use to bring your glory to those around you. By my conduct, by my utterances, by my speech, by my perspective. Heavenly Father, help me. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me. I have put my hand on the plow. I do not want to look back. Holy Spirit, baptize me today again, afresh, with a new anointing. Multiply your grace. Come on, pray. Multiply your grace. No more excuses for my behavior, for my thoughts, or for my perspective. No. I align myself with your word. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. In the name of Jesus. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we submit ourselves as friends to the cross at this hour. We ask that you do a new work in our lives in the name of Jesus. You have called us onto this beautiful journey, a journey of experiencing you by faith through the works of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we yield ourselves to your word. Release a fresh grace, fresh appetite for your word. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Please you may be seated. It's offering time.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future, which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.